Tuesday at the beginning of the 11 o'clock hour, we set aside a segment to talk about NOLA Coalition and a lot of the participating members that are contributing their time, their effort, their dollars, quite frankly, I can't even say the word now, to benefit our communities, the place that we call home. And as cliche as that sounds, that's truly what it's all about, safe place to live, work, and raise a family. And thankfully, we have some very committed people that involve themselves in that endeavor. And today's no different. We have Kalisha Garrett, who is part of the Louisiana Chamber of Commerce Foundation, here to talk about something very unique that they're doing. Kalisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, you guys, your coalition has a steering committee, and y'all started a new program called NOLA Connect. Tell us about that.
Yes, so NOLA Connect is a partnership with OnPath Credit Union, the New Orleans District Attorney's Office, Ubuntu Village, and VOTE, which is the Voices of the Experience. It's a new series that's going to be really community-driven and focused on those activities, initiatives, and concerns across every New Orleanian and region-wide with regards to building a safer, stronger, and more equitable New Orleans.
Now, have you guys started this series, and how do you intend to do this? What is it going to be, actually?
So at this time, we are really engaging with the partners as well as those that are taking the lead on this initiative to identify dates and times and activities that would be family-friendly and open to the public so that we can connect and start hearing directly from those individuals, engaging with them. But at this time, we do not have a set date, but we'll be getting that information out through all mediums, particularly having it announced through radio, as well as social and in announcements that we are sending out via emails and posted on the website.
So, Kalisha, just to put this kind of in plain language, y'all intend to sit down with neighbors, community groups, and hear their thoughts about what's going on, what initiatives could impact their lives more so, talk about the setting of priorities by city government, things of that nature?
Yes. So, you know, recently we've had a lot of conversation and discussion preparing for the summer. It's about to be, school is going to be out. It's about to be a boastful summer over the city. And we want to really engage and understand firsthand from the community with regards to their most urgent priorities that focus around public safety and, of course, one of our pillars, which was investments in youth services. And so through this dialogue, we really want to make sure that we are hearing from the local community, raising their voices and concerns, but also providing resource partners. We have over 500 organizations that are a part of the coalition, and with each of them, they each provide unique services that may be of a benefit within a community that someone may not be aware of. There's also opportunities for us to work collectively as it relates to a program, a policy, or having a voice with regards an issue, with regards to an issue that may be something that's plaguing a particular part of the community. And on the opposite side of that, being able to share and boast about those things that are working in specific subsets of the community so that we can start spreading this across New Orleans so that each of our individual neighborhoods and residential locations would understand here are some opportunities for engagement, here are some opportunities for access, for amusement, or for recreation within the community. Here are some programs that are already supported by our administration that may not be aware, or the individual may not be aware of its offering. We want to be a conduit to make sure that we can connect those dots. Having a place where there are multi-organizations that are joined together with one purpose in mind, which is to provide a safe environment and have amenities available to all New Orleanians in an equitable fashion so that they can partake in the things that are there placed for them for a purpose to serve the community.
Kalisha, let me ask you, obviously, there are some unpleasant truths, right? I mean, last year there was some breakdowns. I know there was a big push and impetus to make sure that all the pools would get open. We'd get the lifeguards hired, and a number of playgrounds would be reopened. But we kind of missed the mark, right? And and I guess you guys are looking at that and assessing that, and are y'all communicating directly with city administration to see what their plans are? Because I understand from some that the path that we're on right now, we may not get all these pools open. We're talking about some maintenance issues, and that's really a shame, right?
It is, and unfortunately, there are many conversations that are happening with regards to the current facilities. We have had conversations with the administration, working directly with Mr. Barabino and the city's administration and offices with regards to family and youth services. Everything, the identification of the issues and concerns have been expressed. And I think at this time, we're working significantly on a path to make sure that if there are things that we as an organization or any of the organizations that are part of the coalition can provide assistance with, that we come to the table and we have conversations, because at the end of the day, the important factor around this all is making sure that both our youth and our seniors have access to these facilities, and that they have the ability to be able to use the equipment or the services that the facilities have to offer. And so what we have done over the past few months is collectively have conversation with the administration, but also with many local groups, and some of them you know of, like the Boys and Girls Club, right, in the 18th Ward,
right.
That have come to us, and they are willing to assist. And what we would like to do is to help with facilitating that discussion and just making sure that everything that we can do to assist with this measure can be done. But again, working collectively with the administration, with NORD, with North Sea, with as it relates to the strategic vision and execution of the plan for recreation for all New Orleans.
Kalisha, let's talk about 18th Ward for a moment. I mean, that organization, well, let me just say it. I mean, they've been more impactful than NORD, right? I mean, is that a fair assessment? I mean, what they've accomplished in a short period of time is just incredible, to say the least.
And we are thankful for the 18th Ward organization for coming in and providing the services with the pools and having the programs that are available. But again, it's in one particular area, right? I mean, and not so much in one specific location, but as it relates to being able to be accessed by all of the community in a reasonable distance, this is one of the reasons why we are just really having conversations about the readiness for the pools, what access is available for other programming. And again, I know that the NORD Foundation, as well as the Recreation Department and executive leadership, are working on that programming. 18th Ward did step in and have a relationship and was able to provide services. And those are some of the things that we are really looking to make sure can continue in a manner in which, if it can be expanded, or if there are like services that can be taken on by other organizations, or if NORD itself, through the Recreation Department, has the ability to be able to provide activities throughout the summer and the staffing for the centers that are needed. Again, what we are proposing is to just stand in gap and be there to support where there are any shortcomings that are available. We are also looking for our organizations to step in, right? Those that are a part of NOLA Coalition that may have an ability to be able to help.
So let me ask this question. I mean, I love y'all's approach because y'all are solutions oriented. You know, you're always kind of pushing the edges of the envelope, looking for a solution and not dwelling on the problems. My understanding is that one of the things that y'all were hoping to facilitate was actually the growth of the impact of 18th Ward, and there was an offer made to NORD that they're willing to take on more. and they're willing to expand their programs into other geographic areas of the city, because they are kind of geographic centric in where they're doing most of what they're doing. I get that. But I also understand that Nord has been reluctant. Is that true? I mean,
So at this point, we have had communication with the administration. We are working through identifying meeting time and place so that that can occur, so that we can continue to have the conversations. I know that while 18th Ward has come to the table and has performed exceptionally, the opportunities and what are available for them to move towards, as well as the relationship and any expansion, it would be a decision that's solely concerned and made by the administration, right? And so while we can assist and we are wanting to bring light to the situation and just to make sure that everyone is able to have an opportunity to have dialogue around what can be done, at that point, we are still at the mercy of having that conversation happen, right? And so I think that the goal is for us to be able to assist, and if there is an opportunity for expansion, to help to facilitate that so that it can move forward and we can be prepared for the upcoming summer. At this point, I'm not aware of a meeting that has occurred since having that information shared. I would, however, you know, refer to 18th Ward to make sure that they have not had one that we were not aware of. But we have reached out to ask for conversations to continue with regards to their prior contract and an opportunity for them to expand.
Because I think one of the things that y'all promote, and I think it's really smart, are these public-private collaboratives, right? I mean,
Correct.
That seems to be where we're going to be the most successful, because anytime you're fiscally challenged, financially challenged, you look for these other opportunities. And that's what I love about what y'all do, is that you're looking for leveraging other opportunities. And I just hope that we don't sit around and squander these opportunities. We got to be nimble. We got to react. I mean, the priorities are many. And I don't want to sit around saying that, you know, Kalisha and I are going to talk 2 years from now saying, you know, we've lost another opportunity and another portion of a generation slipped through our fingers. I'm tired of these conversations, right?
We feel that.
I don't like speaking with you, Kalisha, because I do.
Right?
But I mean, I'm just tired of the conversation.
No, I think the impetus for us to move is now. And so we have opportunities. We have organizations that are willing to come to the table. And look, we haven't even touched the tipping point with regards to restoring the relationship between the Major League Baseball and our city, right? We have some talented youth as well as young adults that are going through some of the local programs. We have the assets, the parks that we have in the playgrounds, the land asset is there. And so what we really need to do is just connect the dots with regards to the planned execution. There is a recreational strategic vision that the city has. That I know that there was outreach with regards to, you know, executing that plan. I know that the city council has even had conversations and had dialogue with regards to the department about the execution of the plan. And to your point, I think we all want the children and parents and residents of our community to be able to have access to the best facilities that are functional and that are operational and that have the correct staff. And so what we would like to do opportunities or the best experience would be for us to be able to say, yes, everything is fully functioning and that we have the solutions to be able to execute them. But to your point, we do have to work within the confines of what we have and work with the administration that is in place so that we can get this executed. But time is of the essence. It is approaching summer. We do want to be sure that if there are any shortcomings or any assistance that we can provide, that we are having an open dialogue with the administration, with the executive leadership, so that we can serve the youth of the community.
Yeah, you know, one of my big concerns as the former sheriff is that, you know, the first 2 to 3 weeks of the summer from a crime perspective were always bad. The last 2 to 3 weeks of a summer were not as bad as the first, but they were not good either. we've created a lot of momentum in our neighborhoods across the city and through the metropolitan area. And if we have these little missed opportunities, and I think I couldn't have articulated it any better than you did, we pay the price. We suffer the consequence. And when you have this momentum, you really want to leverage that, right? You want to keep
that
going.
Absolutely.
Manage it, massage it carefully, and move on.
And look, we have seen tremendous gains with regards to the reduction in crime. We have seen tremendous gains with regards to retention and identification of officers to serve for us, right? There are a few pillars that we focus on around automation and technology and youth services and connectivity between our sheriff's office and the New Orleans Police Department and recruitment and working to support those initiatives. And we can see the fruits of that labor. We see the reduction in what has occurred. But we do want to continue to grow in that direction. And what we cannot do is not have adequate or accessible opportunities for the youth to participate in. Because, again, if they're not in school, they should have some access to some opportunities for participation. And everyone doesn't want to do an athletic sport. And NOR
right.
does have programming that is an alternative to that. But access and being able to have staffing and execution of the programming and the availability from transportation to be able to get there and for the parents or the caregivers to have schedules and understand when those things are offered. Those are the areas that we want to make sure that if there are any needs in having effective, clear communication with having scheduling or staffing concerns be addressed. We stand ready to assist with that, and we definitely want to make sure that this is in place prior to school being let out so that the parents or those caregivers can have an opportunity to know effectively where the children will be. If not, we will leave the door open for the children to not be in the place where we would like them to be. I'm not going to say that everyone would resort to bad activity.
It increases risk
right.
when you don't have it available.
That's there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
And if nothing else, these conversations, you know, bring attention to it. I can tell you, I get texts all the time about playgrounds and lights. Like I just got one, Norwood Playground. Two of the 14 lights are working. Other texts coming in about, you know, what's the status of the lights and bathrooms at Nord Playgrounds? Recently been to one. Where's this other one that I saw? You know, so you're getting the people's attention. They're paying attention and they're mindful of the state of the state, so to speak, and they really want it to come back. And so we appreciate the efforts of the Louisiana Chamber of Commerce Foundation and all that y'all do. And thank you so much, Kalisha Garrett, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, and we look forward to continuing this conversation.
Thank you, ma'am. Have a great week. We will be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Lacey Osborne, CEO and president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. We set aside time every month to visit with them because the North Shore is a very, very important segment of the economic development landscape of our whole region here, and we're all intrinsically linked, and we need all of us to succeed as we try to move to the second tier city and metro area that you've heard me talk about a lot today. I don't know why it seems to be coming up in every conversation I have today, but it's important nonetheless. So Lacey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Newell.
Lacey, let's start out with the outcome of a most recent election, the parish tax rededication. I've had an opportunity to talk to Coop as well, Mike Cooper, the president, as well as Colin Sims, the DA. Your thoughts about why that did not pass and what does that mean for St. Tammany Parish?
Well, Newell, it was very disappointing. As early as the 1980s, there were previously dedicated sales taxes to specifically fund our criminal justice system. those renewals, which, you know, you can't take for granted that renewals are going to pass, but this renewal failed three times, and it was in the late, it was 6 to 8 years ago. There was three different elections, and it failed every time, so that was it. It was over. But the parish was and is still obligated to fund the district attorney's office, the courts, and the jail. So our chamber leaders, and I'm glad you've had Mike Cooper and our DA on, chamber leaders are communicating with some of our parish council members to determine some logical next steps to meet the mandate. So as always, we believe by working together as businesses and elected community leaders, we can come up with a plan that works for everyone.
There was something weird about this election. Certain people didn't vote in it, right? Those within the incorporated areas of the parish. Is that correct?
That is correct. And
how many incorporated government entities are there within St. Tammany? Do you know how many? I know Jefferson has six. I was curious how many St. Tammany
numbers. Had. I mean, our major cities, our largest is Slidell, Mandeville, and Covington. But we also have the town of Abita, the town of Madisonville, Bush, Sun. I'm sure I'm going to miss one or more. But yes, we have several. And the people that live within the city limits or the town limits, this did not appear on their ballot at all. So, and tax rededication, we here at the chamber, our job is to educate voters on issues, not just candidates, but issues. So we really pushed out some information on this because it was sort of a new word. What does tax rededication mean? And what does a mandate mean? Like the parish is mandated to fund the criminal justice system. But they had this source of funding in this 2 cent sales tax forever, for 30 years. And when it failed, the anti-tax sentiment, and we don't like the fact that there's just distrust of elected officials and how our tax dollars are spent. So we are really working to communicate the reasons for the taxes that exist, and we are seeking transparency in how our monies are spent. So since the failure of this tax rededication, it's sort of like turning around and starting over, and how can we work together to come up with the funds that are desperately needed.
Now, one of the things y'all have been concerned with is voter turnout, which is an outcome, right? And I understand that you guys have taken on an initiative and research as to why, the voter turnout has been so low. What have y'all come up with?
Well, politics and elections, everybody's got opinions. And so the opinions that are out there are many. And the research is we can only base it on so far the voter turnout. So St. Tammany voter turnout for this last election was extremely low. And we've discovered that voter fatigue may be an issue, but that's not the driving force of why people don't turn out to vote on election days or the many opportunities that early voting offers. So a lot of people, though, decide whether to vote based on how important they believe the items on the ballot are. Now, we tried to push the fact that criminal justice and the safety that we enjoy here in St. Tammany was very, very good reason to go vote. It didn't work. It didn't turn out the way we had hoped. So we're still looking at that. We're still going to work on educating people and looking at the voter turnout. For example, everyone votes, the highest turnout will always be on a presidential election. And what we found is that if there are less candidates or no candidates, for example, like in the March 29th election where the rededication failed, and we have another election this Saturday with no candidates and only two issues, voters are less likely to get out and vote.
But they're important issues, right? The two that are on the ballot for this Saturday?
Very important. St. Tammany Parish schools are one of our greatest assets, and the school board, if you look at our overall property tax structure and where the property tax dollars go, the school board is the largest recipient, and they have a renewal on this ballot. And the other thing on this ballot is Slidell Memorial Hospital. They are run by a board of commissioners, and they have grown tremendously since it was born, probably over 50 years ago. I'm not sure of that number. But we are hopeful that the school board renewal will pass. And we believe that Slidell will have a larger turnout because of the hospital millage on there. You know, another thing that was discussed, we do have a political action committee, and they have vetted both of those things on the ballot this Saturday, and just discussion of politics. So if we could work together to put similar initiatives on one ballot and have one election to create full ballots, it might increase voter turnout. So what was discussed was, could the parish combine proposals such as the tax rededication with the school board millage renewal? Voters are wary of, for example, it's 5 weeks between the March 29th election and this Saturday's election. 5 weeks. So, you know, the school board millage and the hospital renewal, these are called one-off elections. Okay, they're called one-off. I had never heard that term before. But our leadership is made up of professionals with different areas of expertise, such as law, political consulting among them, communications, medical. We have a diverse board, our chamber board and our PAC board. So we learned that election dates are driven by when a millage expires, or if the parish has oversight of an entity, they can move that renewal's election date to have more than one thing, for example, on a ballot. But the Secretary of State and, in some cases, the legislature determine the dates and frequency of elections. So I know, Newell, that you are familiar, and I love your show when you have the political consultants on and just trying to understand the politics. But in addition to a strong anti-tax sentiment, voters may think that the number of elections are for political reasons. But you can't blame the entities. You can't blame the school board. You can't blame the parish.
There's no doubt that there's those considerations. I mean, you know, the risk on a millage renewal always is, if it fails, you want to give yourself enough time, because that's dictated by state statute, to be able to go back out to the public to retell your story, try to educate the voting public even more about, you know, the downside implications if it doesn't pass. And a lot of times the political climate is such that is completely and totally outside of your control. It's where it is because of the actions of maybe national leaders or state leaders as opposed to local leaders. And, you know, when the mood of the public gains momentum in a direction, it's hard to beat back that momentum and pass some of this. I mean, you know, we've been through the same thing with a jail tax and in the past. I remember Harry Lee did something that I thought was quite unusual. We we had a tax that was up for the jail, and the school board had a tax that was up for education. And I never forget the day Harry Lee went to the podium and he said, look, there are two taxes here. If you don't want to vote for either one of them, I get it. I understand. But let me put it this way. If you're going to vote for one, if you're only going to vote for one, don't vote for mine. Vote for the education millage. And it's rare that you ever see that happen, right? You're always looking out for your best self-interest. But he recognized that long-term, it made more sense to fund education and that we would just have to make it work, right? And, you know, what happened was that one passed and ours didn't. And, you know, we moved on. But the timing is trying to get it right to where you have the most success in passing that, because it's once you have it, to lose it, it only equates to one thing: cuts. I mean, that's you know, that's basically where you're at. Cutback management. Cutback management is not fun. It's not easy. It's hard. You have to redefine oneself, and you got to think out of the box. And I think, you know, that's kind of where that is. Let's get to a break. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Lacey Osborne, CEO and president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Lacey Osborne, CEO and president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. I just want to encourage folks in St. Tammany to get out to vote. May 3rd is an election day. Lacey, I guess the entire parish is voting on these two initiatives, the millage renewal for the school board and the millage renewal for the Slidell Memorial Hospital.
Well, the Slidell Memorial Hospital is within that hospital district, but the school board millage renewal is parish-wide.
And, I guess that hospital district does not encompass the entire parish, right? Which is that makes it even more complicated, right along the lines of what we've been talking about, right? Only
nothing
certain people
easy.
Voted in March, and then a different set of people voted on May 3rd. I mean, we need not say too much more than that. This has been an interesting conversation. A lot of times you go vote, and you don't really think about all of the consequences of how this comes about. But before we leave, anything else that you want to mention?
Yes, thank you. I arrived here 25 years ago, 1999, and I remember the theme that I often refer to was then and now. The way things were then are not the way they are now. And the way things are now are not, it's not going to be the way things are in 5 years, 10 years. St. Tammany is going to continue to grow, and we're going to have to try to educate our voters to begin not only educate them, but to rebuild trust, because some of the distrust that happened over the years, there's new people sitting in seats in government that deserve a chance. And so we are going to work together with them to educate voters and help people understand that, you know, the lack of trust in government spending, the answer is transparency. So we are disappointed with the results of the tax rededication. Our chamber, the North Shore Business Council, several other civic organizations endorsed the rededication. And, you know, as you know, and we all talk about, there's a lot of misinformation out there. Social media opinions may impact those people reading it. So we just ask that our citizens give our parish president and council members, DA and judges, a chance to help them understand the importance. I've already heard of one, again, word of mouth, but it's a fact that one criminal case was delayed for 3 months because the DA is struggling with staffing and funding. And so we're just going to keep trying to push out the facts, and we're hoping that by getting facts out in all the different ways available and the credibility of our leadership, that we can educate voters and help them understand the reasons for these And I attended the Parish Council Finance Committee meeting yesterday, and they are going to work hard. And we were there, and we are going to work together to find
absolutely. And that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take, quite frankly. And as always, Lacey Osborne, we certainly appreciate your time, your insight. Best of luck to you. Lacey's the CEO and president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. Always enjoy the conversation. Have a great week.
Same. Thank you, Newell.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, when we return after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Councilman J.P. Morrell, the president of the council. We'll be talking about the French Quarter trash collection bid process. Stay with us.